listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 8th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here as always. We've got quite the show coming up tonight.
We do. I'm looking forward to the discussion. And thanks to those that took the time to join us live in the chat. We appreciate you. We appreciate your contributions and love having you. Always a pleasure to see you. And thanks to those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives. We know that life is busy and hectic and that you took time out to listen. We appreciate that. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. And, of course, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, absolutely, Dr. Vicki, we have a great discussion ahead of us. We have a special guest with us. We have Dr. Zach Frame returning to us, and we're looking forward to you this discussion coming up with you. How are you doing, Zach?
We are. Sorry, I interrupted too quick. Hi, Zach.
We're good. Hello. Thank you guys for having me on again. It's always great to share conversations with some metaphysical topics. It's always good.
Well, before we begin, though, can I just interrupt with a sidearm topic here, everybody? It's Dr. Jeff's birthday, so if you want to throw him out some good birthday wishes in the chat, that would be awesome. So happy birthday, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And don't worry, we're all just, you know, this is a long example of improv, so we're just yes-anding. So sometimes we're going to stumble. But Dr. Zach, so glad to have you with us, and I'm looking forward to tonight's, you know, topic. I know that we have some topics that you sent ahead of time we're going to touch on. We're going to talk about kind of the overall idea that you had about approaching this and, you know, how is it that, you know, our experiences and who we are lead to the readings now. I'm going to be, as always, one of my roles as the layman, somebody who's not intuitive on that level at least, but, you know, I'm looking forward to your thoughts.
Well, Zach, if I can ask you a question, what is your take on it when people have, you know, different techniques, experiences, and how that, you know, because literally in our emails we put out there, how does that shape their readings? What's your take on that?
So I view reading and divination psychic work very much like I do with teachers and educators. And I think this might help you, Michael, in terms of just kind of understanding from a layman's perspective. We all have those teachers that we enjoy, that we learn a lot from, that we work really well with. And we also have those teachers that literally make us hate the subject. And I kind of feel like with divination, various types of tarot reading, astrology, I Ching, like whatever your method of divination might be, for every reader, there is kind of a style for that deliverance. Now, the techniques, you know, might be the same, or they might have different flavors, you know, individual nuances that make that reader unique and individual. But I think for the most part, they're bringing to the table their experience, their training, their background. They're bringing all of that to the table when they do a reading. So I think that, you know, it's for myself, I try to look at it as most readers have something to offer, regardless of their maybe their degree of expertise. Some have more to offer than others. Some might be better at giving the news or even intuiting what the cards or the form is trying to say. You know what I mean? But I think that ultimately it's going to be as unique as the reader.
Kind of makes me think of how a doctor can be brilliant, but if they don't have a good bedside manner, they might not be communicating with the patient well enough.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about, you know, again, everyone is different. What would you say to somebody who's looking for a reader? Like, what would be your advice? They say, I've never had a reading before. What do you suggest?
That's a really great question. A lot of times I tell people that if you approach somebody and they give you like a creepy vibe, they're not your reader. If you approach somebody and they make you feel uncomfortable, they're within reason. There's different kinds of uncomfortable. There's like the uncomfortable of you telling me some news that maybe I'm not ready to hear. That's one thing. There's the uncomfortable news of, oh yeah, your life is really dark. You have a dark spirit attached to you and you need to call a priest. It's a wildly different vibration. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that for somebody who is maybe looking for a tarot reader, I would say personality is a big part of it. If you can't jive with that individual on a human level, why would you open yourself up to something as intimate as a reading to that person?
Yeah.
Oh, very – that you just used a really important word because it is quite intimate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. You know, one question on my mind is, can you trust just anybody with a Romanian accent, or is the accent, you know, help or deter? But I kid. But I think, you know, that's a great point. And, you know, you're absolutely right, Dr. Vicky. It is something that can be very intimate, you know. And I also think about, you know, what about the method of reading? You know, we're talking tarot here. Is there also, you know, other ways to divinate, so to speak? Other, you know, methods that we can kind of talk about?
Well, I've used lots of different ways. What have you used, Zach?
I really like tarot. I mean, it was kind of my first. I've taken to really loving astrology. I recently enrolled in the Cosmic Academy of Astrology to just kind of hone some of those skills and take it to the next level. I've got like kind of a piecemeal education right now. So if I like can do something with that. So I have that. Though honestly, when I sit there and start to list it off, those are like my main two. I think there's probably other things that I may have, done without realizing it. Like for my grandmother, I use my grandmother as an example because, she was, rest her soul. She's not with us anymore, but she was very devout Christian and she was also very psychically connected, but she told all of her psychic tellings through the paradigm of the Bible, which, you know, caused some problems. And so she would say things, you know, like psychics are with the devil, they'll go to hell, tarot cards are evil, being gay, all these things, you know. And yet, I would see, when I was growing up as a kid, she would sit on her couch and shuffle a regular deck of playing cards, like all day long. It was like her thing. She just relaxed by shuffling playing cards. And then I learned later, when she was having like a hard time getting an answer to her question, she'd flip over a playing card and it had meaning. And like, I didn't realize that what she was doing was divination. I have a very specific memory. She had a safety pin that was attached to her clothing with a black bead and a white bead. I may have told this story before, but she'd always like have that pin. If she had a yes or no question that she didn't answer to, she'd take that safety pin off her shirt, shake it in her hand 7 times, make 7 circles with her finger, and then lower her finger. If she landed on a white bead, the answer was yes. Mm. If she landed on a black bead, the answer was no. That's divination. I did not know it was divination. She had another thing that she would do with like a 10-inch piece of string, a yarn thread, something, and she would like hold it up so far off of like, you know, the surface of whatever, the table, and then she'd drop it, and then whatever, however the string landed, it would spell something out for her and give her like a message or a meaning of some sort. So it was really interesting. Go ahead.
Did she also put the needle on the end of a thread and do the circles or back and forth for the numbers of kids?
No, I've never seen that. No.
Well, it's a needle on a thread, and you have to have like an 8-10-inch thread, and you hold it over someone's palm. And if it goes around in a circle, they're going to have a girl, back and forth is a boy. But when it stops, you know, then it would, how many kids you're going to have, then it wouldn't move at all. So that was something I grew up with too.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Not, you know, personally, but I've seen it in, you know, pop culture movies and things. But, you know, and I guess, is this what we're kind of thinking about when we talk about techniques, different techniques, or is that a different medium? When we say technique, are we talking about how you approach it from a, you know, mental standpoint?
So when I think of technique, you can interrupt me anytime, Vicky.
Yeah.
When I think of technique, I think of something specific within the tool. So like tarot is a tool, astrology is a tool, crystal ball gazing is like a tool. So whatever you use within that tool, the variations within that tool, that would be like a technique. So like for tarot, you know, some readers may choose to read reversals and some may choose not to read reversals. And a lot of that, I think, would depend on where that person's background came from. But at the end of the day, tarot is an intuitive language. Its purpose is to tap into your own intuition. So as long as you are getting those messages, getting those symbols, and you're able to translate that in a way that's comfortable for yourself to the client that you're reading for, then I don't think there's anything that's inherently wrong with those techniques, you know what I mean?
And I think technique is also about delivery. It's like if you have like a formula that you use and staying true to the formula, like how you lay the cards, being consistent in a way, and so clients get to know that that's part of your technique. But I think it's also in the delivery of kind of what kinds of information that you can bring forward. Does that make sense, Zach?
I think so. If I remember from your tarot course, I did take just your level 1 tarot course at IMHS, plugging. So if anybody hasn't taken it, they should. But one of the big things that I remember is there's like that level of psychodynamics kind of in the front of the reading, like how somebody may cut their cards can kind of give you some indication as to what's going on at the subconscious level and things like that. So again, I think that would kind of play into a technique, like what your individual technique is for the reading process.
Well, I think that you just brought up a really good point, because a lot of it is combining your own auto-sensory perception, just how observant you are about human behavior, as well as the intuition. So, you know, and that psychodynamic. Some people are good at reading people and others are not, you know. So I think that's part of how someone would have a technique, and then the delivery is by... Look, some people are really good, I think, at tuning into an emotional issue and helping somebody out of an emotional jam, kind of what you would say in spiritual counseling. Others can do that plus tell the future, or some people can read what's in somebody's past and not know the future. And so I think that's really difficult, and I think that's a reader's evolution also that plays into it. Because, you know, again, everyone has their own kind of intuitive place with themselves. Does that make sense?
I think it does. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just thinking that because what I would necessarily, what I could do, I think, or interpret when I was, you know, 20 is very different than when I was 50, 60, or 65. You see, so it's in my own evolution and how I became, because we don't just grow up and mature emotionally, mentally, physically, we also grow up spiritually. So that, I think that all gets incorporated into it. But I have met some really young readers who are still at a place of not being biased about the world, so it makes their readings a little more pure, to be honest. I think that's because they're not jaded yet. And I like, I've met other readers who are really jaded.
I like how you added yet. But
yet.
Well, and I think that, you know, this discussion exactly, you know, one of the other, you know, main points is, you know, how do experiences shape that? And, you know, I agree with what you're saying in terms of as we kind of grow, we get these, you know, biases that kind of build up. It's, you know, inherent in the human condition. It's something that we all have to acknowledge and try to account for as best we can when we're conscious of something that might, you know, be a bias that, you know, we recognize as unreasonable. But I have to think that there's something, you know, you said that, you know, readings have changed a lot. I would imagine that over time, it's like a skill like any other that would grow and become stronger with use and over time.
I'll add to that because that you're exactly right. I mean, when you do the work that you do for 10, 20, 30 years, you become better at the work that you're doing. You learn how to almost reach that level of unconscious competence, to use an IMHS stuff. You definitely gain experience over time. You know, like just this last event that I did, I may have mentioned that it was a gentleman that came in for a reading, and I sat down to do the reading, and I rolled a three of swords up front with the tarot dice that I was using, which represents betrayal. And I just didn't realize at the time of the reading that the betrayal was mine. The dude got the reading and left without paying. I asked him to pay, and he said, no, thanks. And but you only make that mistake once, you know, and then you learn. So I think that the jadedness comes from experience. I mean, there's a reason that it happens.
Yeah.
You know, like
there is.
And have you ever... Sorry.
I agree. And I would also think that, like many things in life, if you become apathetic and you no longer have a passion or a curiosity for it, I would have to imagine that would dull the sense.
You know, sometimes I've thought about people who are performers, like singers, musicians, and being not just good but great every time they perform. And it's like they go on like that is their first ever performance and it's the last one they'll ever do. And I realized that something about readings with people, I approach every reading that way. Every reading is unique and unto itself. Even if I've read for them before, I'm in this here and now, and it's like shifting my, you know, my consciousness over to be in the now, in the moment, and giving it 100%. Without being jaded, you know, because you don't want that to filter in. You don't, you know, spirit doesn't see things that way. So, I mean, I could, you know, be a, you know, positive optimist, you know, kind of pessimist all at the same time.
Well, that's a balance.
But, yeah, you know, optimistic pessimist, pessimistic optimist. I don't know. Well,
don't be so much an optimist if you're not a realist.
That's right. So, but that all kind of stops when tuning into somebody and reading. Do you agree with that, Zach?
I do agree with that. I think that's actually one of the necessary skill sets for reading for folks is, you know, you have to step outside of your own crap and be truly objective when you're doing this reading. If you... and that's general advice if people are interested in learning tarot for themselves. I always tell people kind of early in the beginning when they're first starting to read, don't read for other people right away because you've got to learn how to get past your own insecurities Because when I first started doing readings in the beginning, of course I wanted to read for Alex. Of course I wanted to read for my best friend, you know, and we got in so many fights because he's asking about work and I pull a Three of Swords and I think he's going to break up with me. Hold on a second. That doesn't have anything to do with anything, you know. Right. And so I kind of had to learn there's a lot of things I have to get out of my own way in the beginning of that. So now, you know, every reading is very much like, as you said, you know, it's a first performance. It's a new experience. Whatever, you know, we covered in the last reading is no longer relevant unless the cards say the exact same thing. And then we know that person isn't doing the work, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I have a question, Doc. Have you ever had the experience where kind of you wake up one day or just in the course of a week and you're different, that you have a different ability that you didn't have before or didn't know you were possible to have before?
I have not had that occur. Not instant, not like an over the night thing. Like I had when I was becoming an empath, and it was like that was a hard transition for me because I didn't realize where these emotions were coming from. I was feeling everything that everybody was feeling, and I thought I was just going bonkers. And it wasn't until I kind of learned that that's what was happening. I learned some grounding techniques. I learned how to kind of tune into my white light. I got some citrine in my life. You know, I made some adjustments to where I couldn't even go to Walmart. I go to Walmart and I'm like, okay, I'm going to abandon my cart and get out of this place because this is not okay. You know what I mean? But other than that, it's never been an instant thing. It's been kind of gradual. Like even what I consider mediumship for myself, I don't see spirits. I don't hear spirits, but I'll get like a knock at my neck. It's a very strange like neck sensation, which is kind of like my indication that somebody's trying to get my attention. And I learned when my best friend's dad passed just a few months ago, I learned that if I'm already tuned in, they don't knock because they only knock when they're trying to get my attention. It's like if the door's already open, nobody has to knock on the door. You know what I mean? And so like even now, I'm still learning layers to my own gifts that I have. So that's, but it's never just like I didn't just wake up tomorrow and now I'm seeing dead people. You know, I have schizophrenia in my family, so I would be a little anxious if that were the situation.
That's funny. Yeah, but when you open the door to your empathy toward other, you're opening, like that had to happen, like in a moment you realize, whoa, I'm feeling more. It's because you opened that sensory in yourself and then had to learn to manage it. Make sense?
Yes.
So I would say that's kind of an overnight thing because you always were that, but when you open the door, it's like, oh my God, everybody's talking at once.
You're right. I guess I don't know where the door opened. I don't know if the door opened with tarot or if like I had studied tarot for a while and then the door opened, which was funny because, you know, the Christian folk that I would always talk to told me that tarot would open doors. They didn't tell me that the doors that it would open would be the doors to my own subconscious. They just think it's like the doors to a portal to hell.
No, it always comes back to that.
Really the case.
Actually, I think, you know, the big problem I'm hearing is the door could open, but you're having trouble closing the door or, you know, limiting it, kind of tuning it out when need be. But I'm also curious, you know, one of the other things that you had mentioned prior was people that, you know, unknowingly use divination, but I'll say intuit and things like that. When you say divination, do you specifically mean through a medium or just intuition or intuiting?
Through a tool.
Okay.
You know, using something outside of yourself to get answers that you can't possibly.
I see. Have. So kind of in that example, it would be more like your grandmother using the cards in that kind of way.
Yeah, because, like, well, I mean, I guess with her, like, did she know it was divination? She very much preached to me that divination was sinful, yet she didn't, like, almost.
Right. So.
You know what I mean? So she's either a hypocrite or ignorant.
And I think some of it's just in how you define things, but also, you know, talking about these doors, you know, for people that, you know, may not think of themselves as being intuitive or being able to divinate things, is there a door that they have that might not be open? And I think that's probably an open-ended question, but How common a thing is that? Do you think that by the time you reach adulthood, it would have just circumstance would have pushed it to the forefront?
I'm also interested in your opinion on this, Vicky. I think that the door is open for us as kids, and we learn for the door to get closed. And we don't, the door doesn't open back up unless we've made the conscious effort to do so. That's how, I mean, I'm pretty practical in that regard. If you've got some water placements in your chart, you may just, have those intuitive gifts that just kind of happen spontaneously, but
Well,
that, go ahead.
I think it makes sense that when we're born, we're hot off the cosmic plane, but we're into a body, and that body has conditioning. And as we grow, we're learning more about the body and our human condition, our experiences, which does temper off that, by the age of 9, you kind of start forgetting about your past lives and, all your childhood, like imaginary friends, and start grounding. And then it's as you gradually open those senses back up again. Like that's my thing. I think that we're all capable of these things. It's just how then, where's your key? What is the key to triggering or to opening up? Some people have near-death experiences, because they've never thought about intuition in their whole life and don't believe in ghosts, and suddenly they've had a near-death experience, and oh my God, the whole world changes, right? So I think everybody is on their own journey, because I don't think anything is right or wrong. I think, though, when you choose the path of being a reader, it's not just about being intuitive, because I know a lot of really intuitive people who say, there's no way I'm ever doing readings. So, because it's how do you be with people, which, really lends back to, our questions tonight about, developing techniques and experience and how we shape our readings and delivery, because how will you be with people? And how do you translate messages into what people can understand, like tapping into their language or finding that responsibility, don't be a fear monger, like those kinds of things. Does that make sense, Zach?
I think so. I don't know if I'm touching on Michael's question exactly, but like I do think that those intuitive talents are there. If I can bring it back to the astrology for a second, your moon placement in your astrology, in your birth chart will say something about how your method of intuition. And so if you have like an earth moon, earth signs are very practical, they're very physical, they're very material. So when somebody with an earth moon experiences an intuitive hit, they're going to feel it physically. They might like get goosebumps that pop up, or they might have like the hairs on the back of their neck stand up, or they might feel something very physical in their bodies to let them know that they're on point with their intuition. Fire moons and air moons tend to be, they're a little harder to pin down, but more of the clairsentient, claircognizant, where they just kind of like know something. And then with the water moons, they are more clairsentient, clairaudient. I don't know if I answered that question or if I just danced around it, but that's.
Well, I think that kind of, comes to the different approaches to reading and, how you're coming at it using your own, experience and techniques and who you are. And I'm really enjoying this. One of the things that I know I wanted to touch on, and Dr. Vicky and I will I think disagree on some of these things, but when it comes to artificial intelligence, you had made a mention of Chat GPT or AI, and I think that if you're talking about the universe trying to tell you something through numbers and probability, statistical odds, maybe. But if it's something that's going to require real intuition, I don't think the level of things you're going to get with a chatbot or something like that, even at this, you know, newly found level of sophistication, is going to cut it. But could a true artificial intelligence be connected into that kind of consciousness plane? Could they be intuitive in any regard? And I think that kind of comes around to the idea of, you know, are they alive?
Well, I think we have to, I'm going to just put in, you know, one really important point here of cause and effect. And artificial intelligence can be programmed to know from this cause what will the effect be. You know, and even a number of factors of multiple causes or circumstances, an AI could predict the most likely outcome. So that's kind of natural law. And even then we can
that's more mathematical.
Add in sure and mathematical about, okay, if you put your hand on a hot stove, will you burn your hand? Well, the AI is going to say yes.
Right.
You know.
But
if I'm in a difficult relationship, what is the likelihood of it succeeding? Well, the AI is going to say succeed at what? Do you see, this is where intuition comes in, I think.
Well, and that's why I think, and this is a whole different program unto itself, you know. I think it comes down to whether or not you can look at AI as truly a conscious, sentient being, independent of, you know, inherent programming, the ability to change its own programming and to expand and to have consciousness. And I think that's kind of...
Well, we won't know that in this lifetime.
Well, you never know. It's going at a rapid pace. But I do think that, you know, consciousness could plug in if it has the ability to, and I think that something can become self-aware, but that's kind of where that is.
What do you think, Zach?
Yeah. We have a guest on tonight.
It is interesting because, I mean, I think the short answer is no, because at the end of the day, it's intuition. Like, the AI is going to use an algorithm unless they figure out an algorithm for intuition. It just doesn't feel, it's more like a discussion question. But like, I think about, like, I have a client and she'll often ask for cards for things, and if I'm not available, she's told me a few times, like, she'll go to the auto card generators and pull cards from there offline, and it's not helpful for her. And part of that, I think, is because she doesn't already have the base knowledge of tarot. I think that if she had that base knowledge, then maybe it would help her. I don't use physical cards as much anymore because my disability has progressed, that it's just like too much. I have an app on my iPhone of the cards that I normally would use, but in the places where, like, I would normally have my, you know, whoever I'm reading for, they'll cut the cards, get their energy in the cards that way, and that sort of thing. But since I'm not using the cards anymore, I've had to make some adaptations. So now I use an app on my phone. As the cards are shuffling, I will have the person put their hand over my phone to get their energy in the cards that way. Or if it's a remote read, while the cards are shuffling, I will have them take a deep breath with me, and we will inhale simultaneously, and then that will kind of get us connected. But the cards through the electronic device will be just as accurate as if I had used the real cards when I connect in this way. So, and I've always said, like, spirit tends to interact with and interfere with technology much more easily than it does the physical world. You know, if I'm getting that knock at my neck and I'm not paying attention, I've literally had spirit turn my iPad off at 87% and not turn it back on until I agree that I will deliver the message.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay.
Interesting.
Well, you see, and that's, again, your technique or your style. That's, you've learned to be with yourself and use your intuition. Does that make sense? Of what is required at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, Zach?
It does. I it does. I agree.
Yeah.
And I think that with one of the things you were saying before the ChatGPT, just in terms of, like, our challenge as a reader is to interpret the message in a way that it lands with the person that we're reading for.
And
and they're going to have their own style of communication. And I think something that I do, and it happens very fast, I don't realize it's doing. The only reason I can articulate it is because I've had to explain it. Somebody's asked me once before, but it's like when I'm doing the reading, it's almost like I am able to say the words in my head and receive how they receive the information. And then I can adjust my words to where it'll be received by them in the optimal way, if that makes any sense at all. But it happens on a really fast level, and I don't realize that I'm doing it.
Interesting.
Well, I know we Michael and I were on different chats on Skype and trying to decide if we're going to draw cards. So I've asked in the chat, does anybody have a birthday this week? I know that Jeff does, and if this is okay with Jeff, I thought while you're here, Zach, anybody who has a birthday this month in February, because we have so many names in the chat right now, we don't have time for everybody. But if we do what we usually do, but with your input, Zach, are you willing to do that? Like what you would add to the interpretations?
Oh, you mean like throw a card for folks?
Yeah.
Would love to. So much.
Okay. All right.
So Wendy is saying that her son Andrew has a birthday this month also. So let's start with Jeff. Michael will draw a card. I'll draw a card. And then you give your take on them also when, you know, we've kind of gone through it. Does it make sense? We'll do that.
Oh, on their card? So you don't want me to throw a card? You want me to offer my interpretation of the cards you guys throw?
Or if you have cards, bring up a card.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, okay, I like that.
Let's do
it. I like it.
Okay.
All right, so, yeah.
Let's start with Jeff.
Careful, Dr. Jeff. This is going to dictate the rest of the year for you, so let's see what we have. All right.
What have you
Jeff,
got
take
there,
a
Michael?
Deep breath for me. Inhale.
I have tonight for you, Dr. Jeff, for your birthday, we have wild card number 6, entropy. Interesting. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still, and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers their personal entropy. The world is a better place.
Well, I pulled the Queen of Hearts here in line with that, Jeff. So I'm going to go with aligning your energy with your partner, so that you and your partner are finding that good balance between you, finding that middle ground and how you serve each other. And I know you're in a very happy relationship. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that it's finding that center ground and making sure that the energy is in balance and as you move forward. So finding a new balance point. What do you have for that, Jeff?
Zach.
Pardon me. Zach. Yikes.
So, that's okay. I'm looking at a reversed Wheel of Fortune. And when I see the Wheel of Fortune, I think of movement. I think of luck, vision, destiny. When we think about, you know, sometimes things are up, sometimes things are down. The Wheel of Fortune is always moving, though. Luck is, you know, always there, good or bad, but it's just a matter. Now, when I see it reversed, I want to think, I usually see that as a slowing down of an energy. So maybe slowing down the movement, or maybe we're moving too much and we just want to kind of bring that back a little bit. Or maybe you're not really thinking about your own sense of vision. That you, or you're not just not feeling lucky. Maybe this is not a lucky time right now. But what I really want to focus on is the movement, because we don't always have to be moving. Sometimes when you plant the seed, you have to step back and watch it grow. So that's what I have for you, Dr. Jeff.
All right.
Yeah, that would make sense. It's like whatever is on the table, maybe just slow it down a little bit and let it have its own pace. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Zach? Yeah. Okay.
I like it.
So let's go for Andrew here.
Big one? Yep, absolutely.
Go ahead, Michael.
So, Andrew, a big one. It's the 18th. He's buying his first house. That is a big achievement, especially at 18.
Yeah.
And, hey, another wild card tonight. It's wild card number 5, don't hate. Always a good card. So let's see. Wild card number 5, Don't Hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in families, relationships, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right to self and others. Good message. Good message as you're branching out into adult life. Oh, have fun with that, by the way.
Well, yeah. Zach, I pulled the Wheel of Fortune.
Mm. On point.
How about that?
Like, how about that? Like, that's kind of crazy, to be honest.
Clarifying real quick. It's not his 18th birthday. The birthday is on the 18th, so.
Oh, I see.
So he probably already knows about it.
So the Don't Hate with the Wheel of Fortune. Like, I think this is a really good time for you to move forward, a really good time for you to, perhaps, as you know, buying a house, that it's a good time. And it's a good time to keep that energy going. I like the way Zach has said that earlier. The Don't Hate part is doing it in a good way, making sure that dynamics are good, kind of making sure that you're received well, and I don't know why I say this, but make sure that the energy of the house is good, you know, feng shuiing the energy where you put things. That's kind of where I am there, but I think it's a good time for you to buy the house. What do you think, Zach?
Nice. I have a Four of Pentacles, and okay. The Four of Pentacles is, a lot of times it's frugality. You know, you could take it as far as being a miser, but I don't get that vibe from you. It's more of a, like, control and keeping what's yours close to you. I use Tiro Marchetti's Gilded Tarot most of the time, and the artwork has a man and he's holding a treasure chest with the Four Pentacles, and he's just kind of holding it really close to his chest as to say, this is mine. So, you know, it could also be an acknowledgement. I mean, we're talking about getting a house. It's kind of a big deal, but houses are expensive, you know, so it may require you to, you know, keep a closer eye on your purse strings for the time being, you know, and with Don't Hate, you know, I'll piggy on that in terms of just not just keeping a good attitude about the situation. Maybe you notice that there's, you know, upon closer inspection, there's still some work to be done, you know, and you might be secretly cursing the previous owner for their upkeep habits, you know what I mean? And maybe just, you know, don't hate on it. It's still a good house.
Hey, Zach, you just read my mind.
Did I really?
Yeah. I honestly, we're so in tune right now, because I was thinking that Four of Diamonds would also mean, with the Don't Hate Wheel of Fortune, is, you know, like there might be some things that need doing here. And just to watch your pennies and know that there might be some extra bits of things that need attention.
And how about that?
Yeah, so different words, but we're both tuned into the same idea. I appreciate this, Zach, because it gives another take on it, another angle, and again, what people can walk away with. And I'm sorry to everybody else that we don't have time to pull cards for you, honestly, but I think this discussion is important to get across to folks about readers, intuition, delivery, and how, you know, we are all different, but we all want the same thing, if that makes sense, is to be helpful. Mm-hmm. But how do we do that? So even just doing these, you know, two people, I think is a good example and kind of, you know, displays a little more about what we've been talking about. How do you think about that, Zach?
I agree completely. It's really nice to have good perspective, you know, and everybody's going to have, like we mentioned earlier, your own experience, your own, you know, like as you read cards for people over time, you learn all of the different ways the energy of the card can manifest. Yeah. So when you are describing those different energies, you're able to make it relevant to the person that you're reading for because you've got those examples that have been relevant for you in the past.
So when you're taking, moving forward here a little bit, you're on this astrology course, and it's so important for us to keep learning, keep studying, keep growing. What have you taken from the course as you're doing it now? Like, how has it improved, or maybe not? You know, how do you feel differently?
It's like a 9-month program.
Yeah.
And there's like 43 modules, and there's like a week for each module. But so far, I mean, I'm only on week 3, and it makes me feel really good to know that I've got one heck of a foundation in astrology, because a lot of this is review for me right now. I'm picking up some things in medical astrology. There was like a list of books on the orientation module that was kind of like talking about some suggested readings. And I hadn't seen any books on medical astrology. They're out there, but I hadn't really explored them. So I picked up one of those and I was reading about that. This is really interesting. So if you're noticing patterns that show up in your life, and you're like, I feel like I'm supposed to be learning something, it's because you are. And what I found really interesting with astrology transits and stuff, it's like as these transits, you know, the planets move through space, they form these aspects that more or less make lessons for us to learn. And the really interesting thing that I picked up from this medical astrology book is that if you do not learn the lesson, it basically comes back around. If you do the work and you learn what the transit is asking of you, then it tends to be more spiritual and mental. You don't notice an outward. But if there's something, then you're like, you just refuse to address it. You just refuse to make the change because it's uncomfortable and you don't want to do it for whatever reason. Then the universe allows whatever needs to happen physically to manifest, to make you deal with it. So if you actually pay attention to the transits and you do the work, then a lot of times there's heartache that you can kind of avoid. Obviously, you can't avoid all of it. Go ahead.
I call those cosmic 2x4s.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, right, what I appreciate,
the
though,
forehead.
Astrology is more science. I know it's not a science as per se, but I see it more as a scientific approach to divination. Do you agree?
Well, my partner would not have me. He would not be okay with that. I'm like, no, it is not scientific. It is a pseudoscience. You cannot put that into a scientific box. But I disagree because, you know, if you have enough case studies, then it holds water. One case study isn't really impressive, you know, but if you've got a couple of hundred in your pocket that, you know, then okay, it starts to hold a little bit of water. It's more like a lens through which to view people. I guess it could, you know, maybe more methodical, less than scientific. You know, there's definitely a methodical approach to it.
I always found it really heady. You know, it's out of my head. You know.
Oh yeah.
So that's
there's a lot of little pieces, and once you learn, it's like literally putting together a puzzle. You've got a 1,000-piece puzzle, but you have to be able to identify all those 1,000 pieces before you can actually put them together to make it make sense.
Well, Dr. Mike is saying in the chat, sorry, it is not scientific. Point taken. Speaking of Dr. Mike, everybody. Sorry, Michael. We really want to get this in.
Oh, absolutely.
Ancient Aliens this Friday is the episode. It's on the History Channel, the episode in which Dr. Mike is in. So make sure you tune in this Friday, February 10th. 2023.
Absolutely.
To the new episode, the latest episode.
It's going to be the MUFON episode.
Ancient Aliens.
Oh, you better believe. MUFON. Yeah, you better believe I wasn't going to let us close out without giving the shout out Dr. Mike, definitely, that's definite funny. Friend of the program. And, you know, I think when we talk about terms like scientific, it's a process as opposed to knowledge. And I think that, yeah, it's not something that can be measured and verified in that way. So it's a discipline, something along those lines, in my mind, as a layman. But no, agree. Big shout
that
out.
And that's probably a good way of saying it. Yeah. It's a discipline.
And just, you know, want to give a big shout out to Dr. Mike. Looking forward to that. He had joked earlier that hopefully there'll be his 15 seconds of fame. I'm going to say you get at least 20. So, but no, we're looking forward to that.
I appreciate Zach coming on the program too. I always like our discussions your take on it. I appreciate different perspectives, you know, because that's why we're all different. Oh. You know, just because I have a certain way doesn't mean it's not right for you. It's right for me. It might not be right for you, but I think that's the coolest thing about how we continue to explore. And I like seeing other people's, hearing their views and how their minds work.
Absolutely.
I like that.
And, you know, your enthusiasm, curiosity, your nature to explore, you know, that's wonderful, wonderful attributes. I love having these discussions. I especially love coming into it because it just is another one of those things that just continues to add into my overall perceptions of, you know, things that are going around me. So, yep,
Michael,
it is.
Am I right in saying that your dad's birthday, Dr. Kelly's birthday, is the 13th?
It is indeed. It is indeed.
Shout out to Dr. Kelly, everybody, on Monday.
Yeah, coming up right around the corner. So,
yeah.
Dr. Kelly's an Aquarius.
Yes.
Happy Aquarius season.
But
I have two Aquarian daughters who were totally different, by the way, but I also know that the rest of the planets in the chart explains it. You know, Zach, coming back to Zach, thank you so much for being on the program, and I so appreciate you.
Absolutely.
I am so thankful that you guys let me come on here and talk about metaphysical things. Like I said before, I will never pass up an opportunity to speak about metaphysical topics.
Well, I mean, come on, we didn't let you. We'll cajole you. We'll twist your arm. We'll get you back. But no, no, I love these discussions. And, you know, it's kind of come to that time of the night. We've got, you know, gone through it. And, you know, I think there's, you know, untapped gold that we still have. But for the future, I know that we're looking forward to topic next week. I think we're going to be following up on the topic idea that we had talked about last week, which is, you know, do the dead care about the living? And, you know, I think some of those different aspects. So,
hey, Zach, before you go, what do you think about that? Do the dead care about the living?
Do the dead care about the living? I think they do. I think they do, but I think that it's not quite as much as maybe we think. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, if there are people that are left behind, I think that sometimes they will linger around a little bit just to make sure they're okay, you know, but I don't know how much of that is my own wishful thinking, you know what I mean? But in general, I think there are spirits that have messages they want to deliver to the living. And if they have a message they want to deliver, they have to care.
Well, we're going to explore that next week. Thanks for your good start. We're kicking off next week with exactly that, Michael.
I love it. I love it. I'm looking forward to it. Zach, thank you again so much. Always a pleasure. You know, I just enjoy these discussions. Also, big shout out to Dr. Zach here. He was kind enough to go through my own, you know, star chart readings and things, and I found it very fascinating. So, definitely want to push it that way. So, it's been a wonderful topic. It's gone by, and I just thank everybody for joining us. And we're kind of coming to that time. Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
No, I've just had a great time tonight. Thank you very much. Look forward to next week, as always. And, you know, a reminder to everybody to look on the school site because we have our graduation coming up in May.
Do.
I know it seems like early, but it's not too early.
I mean, come on.
We're going to have lots of new graduates to mention.
Look how fast this...
Please check on the school site.
Good shout out because look how fast this past week has gone by. It's going to be here in no time. But again, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Dr. Zach. Such a pleasure. And until we see you next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.